apart. But salvation is an act of God's mercy. It's an act of God's love. It's God really helping us, because by default, we don't deserve anything. What we deserve is death. And it's very important to understand this thing, especially when you're asking God to bring either your understanding. The heart of the prayer is not, you're not praying it with your energy. You're praying it with your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Please respond. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not praying it. It's not like you are. It's not you that is working it. It's a prayer of mercy. You know, if God doesn't open your eyes, there's nothing you can do. Do you get my point? Right? If God doesn't open your eyes, there's nothing you can do. If God doesn't help you to see Him, you know, there's nothing you can do. You can't go to the mountain. It's not in the mountain. You can't fly up in the air. You know, that's no way. You can't enter the ocean. You can't, if you go out in space and you go, you still won't see Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So the revelation of God is based on His mercy. Yeah. So that's the attitude of the prayer. When you're praying for God to open the eyes of understanding, what you are doing is that you're almost saying that, God, if you don't have mercy on me, I will not go. You know, if you don't have mercy on me, I will not grow. Have mercy on me. I will remain the way I am. Do we want to remain the way we are? We want to change, Abby. So we need God to have mercy on us. So we're going to pray again and say, Father, open the eyes of my understanding today. Let me see you in a better light. Let me see your plans for me. Let me see your vision for me. Let me see your purpose for me. In the mighty name of Jesus, can we begin to pray? If you need to close your eyes, please close your eyes. Open the eyes of my understanding, Lord. In Jesus' name. So we're going to pray also for us to be in alignment with God. It's very simple, Abby. Yeah. So we're going to say, Father, make me, but I'll explain why. So we're going to say, Father, make me be in alignment. And it's very important, because You don't want to be fighting with God's plans for your life. And when you are in alignment with God, that's the only way life is easy. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. You see, we have our own expectations. We have our own idea, of how our lives are. And the truth is that God has his own idea. God has his own expectations. There are many problems that people are crying about that if you were to convert it in God's eye, you will see that it's not a problem. It's actually an advantage. Are we together? Are we together? Let me please shout hallelujah. Good. So how can that conversion happen when our hearts are in alignment with God? It's very simple. It's just that when God says do X, we say yes, X is the way to go. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So we're going to pray and say, Father, make my heart to be aligned with you in the name of Jesus. Can we begin to pray? Mara devashke subrika barabuloshte sabraka balukoshta arata di brakusa tali brakabasha tali brukosha arata ti brukosha breka balukosa arata sabrika kubakasha umbrata seta li brukosi kalaka brukosa abasha tali kabrukosa brukosa abasha tali kubrukobasha brukosha umbrata kasa tali brukobasha
Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. You can have your seats in God's presence. Hallelujah. I'm happy to see everyone here. I'm also happy. I think are the guys at Ojedu? Are they fully on now? Okay. All right. So that's good. So the reason why you have this, why you're seeing this mic is because I'm also talking to those of us at Ojedu. So that's why you're having this mic here. It's just that we can't hear them. All I said, let them shout. We can't hear them. But I think we can hear them. Okay. So let me know where we are ready so that I'll say they should shout so that we are sure. Yeah, they are ready. All right. So those of you in Ojedu, can you? Maybe, I think you should also mute my mic. When I say so, you say don't be that echo stuff, that feedback stuff. So you guys in the gym, you guys should say hi to those at Abulegba. Can you hear? I can't hear. Or mute me first. I didn't hear what you guys said. What do you guys say? I said say hi. Is that you say hi? Shout now. Let them know that you're here. Anyway, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. So at least you get our headshot. So at least you're aware that they're there. Is the network good? Are they hearing me well? Okay. All right, that's fine. So they're over there. Let me before I start, let me give some quick announcements. Or before I even do that, let's rise up, let's welcome each other, and so let's go around, let's welcome ourselves. All right. Amen. Amen. Where is Esther? She's going to work. And where does she work? Nobody knows where she works. Can we find out where she works? Of course, she's not around. Do you know where she is? No. Where's the work to? Do we know where she works? Okay. All right. That's cool. So please, let's just find out where Esther is. But I'm really, really happy to see. What about that guy? I don't get that something bit of hair. Is that work too? Okay. All right. I really love spending time with you guys. You might not know it. You might think it's just pepped up the encouragement. You know, but I really mean it. I really mean all of you are very powerful people, you know. And I really mean I'm also blessed by your is this your first was that your first time leading worship? That was your first time. Wow, and you did it so beautifully. You know, can we clap for I'm serious, sir, you did it so beautifully. Yeah. One of the things God gives pastors, especially when you're pastoring young people, that I can see you even before you can see yourself, you know. So when I say that, you know, you guys are really powerful, I really mean it, you know. Everybody's scared of you. Maybe it's you that doesn't know, you know. God respects you because God knows what he puts inside you. Okay, even Satan respects you too. You know, because Satan knows what God puts inside you. You get. But anyway, before we start, so would be we've had how many weeks have we been? I think it should be like 6 weeks or something, like maybe 7 weeks, you know, something around that, seven, maybe, yeah. So On the 21st, we're going to have a combined service at Ojodu. That's all things being equal in our brand new auditorium. You guys will be so happy. You know, I was telling the guys in the last week, don't worry, when you get it, you see that, you know, it was not a waste. You know, your, especially your summer academy sacrifice, you know, that's, you see that it was worth it, you know. We thank God for all he's doing in our lives. For let's and I'm saying this to Indifeke and also to just us in general, you know, let's when we come back, let's make sure that we tell our story of what we did when we were away. You know, so let's get people's perspective, opinions, how it was. We took lots of pictures, Abby. Yeah, I know we took. I know Daniel was always taking pictures of me whenever I was, you know. So let's get opinions, perspective. I mean, that means we have just not just one more Saturday, but we have one Saturday till then. So maybe we can just interview ourselves, also in Ojodo as well. Let's find out how it was. Let's talk. So that when we come back, we won't just come back and do service. We'll come back and really thank God. I'm sure you guys miss every one of you. Yeah, I'm sure they miss. Everybody's missing themselves, you know. Maybe all our guys safe in a. We'll make sure that Big Boss Safe will join. That's Big Boss in the UK. And all our people that are scattered in various parts of Nigeria and the world. So please, let's just what? So if we can, let's make sure that we do that. I like the fact that you know, Ladi and prayer. So let's like the fact that you're leading prayer. I like the fact that you also led worship. You want to join the choir? You want to join the light time? I'm asking her, do you want to? Think about it. If you want to meet, let in the breaker know so that I don't think you have the grace for it. I think to Joshua and Ojodu, I think it's time the light time gets a logo. So let's work on something so that you people can feel proud. You know, when they're announcing, you can say that, hey, I'm in light. What does your brother play?
Song.
Yeah, drums. Do you also want to do music?
Not
like that. Not like that. What do you want to do? Agriculture. Wow. People are powerful, though. Very, very powerful. Last week, I found out that somebody wanted to join army. You know, is my army guy there? Help me, let them confirm if my army guy is there. You know, and we're talking. We're saying, do you want to do officer? I said he wants to fight war. You know. I want to fight war. He's not around, okay. My army guy. Is Major around? He's not. Okay, cool. All right. So I have a message. But that message is God help us. That message is the third thing I want to say. I want to say two things before then. The first is the quickest. I don't know. The first thing I would say is that you need to be careful of your spiritual associations. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, you need to be careful of who you associate with spiritually. Once you see that somebody is having, once you see that somebody is a source of arguments, are we together? Are we together? Please respond, respond. Are we together? Yeah. Once we see that somebody is argumentative, you know, somebody is always arguing scriptures, you know, all these kind of arguments, you know, like what Ine was talking about, you know, who are Jesus' mother, all those kind of things, you know. Once you see that, what do you say, who was God's mother? Yeah. Now, once you see that somebody is always arguing scripture, it's a sign that the person has a wrong spirit. Huh? Are we together? It's a sign that the person has a wrong spirit. And it's a sign that God is very far from the person. Irrespective of if the person is healing people, though. You see, it can be healing people, blind eye or open. But once you see that somebody is argumentative, somebody is the cause of chaos, you know, not in a good way. You know, people can be sinning, and if you say stop sinning, people can fight you. You understand? And that case is a good chaos. You understand what I'm saying? Right? But once you see that people that have sense, you know, you're just the source of so much wahala and provocation and arguments, you know, please make sure that you tune away from such people. Are we together? Please make sure. You see, there is no gist that is going on in church. Huh? Are you hearing me? There is no gist that is going on in church. There is no like, what's happening in the church now? You see what that man of God said? You know, that is not Christianity. Hmm? That's time wasting. Are we together? Yeah. There's nothing that is happening in the church. Huh? So please don't be enticed by those things, because a lot of those things are online. And eventually you will see reason that it should not be online too much. You know, but for now, before you get to that revelation, as you see those things, know that the moment you see, this man is saying something, just make sure that you block it. Are we together? Please, it's very important, okay? I don't want you to waste your time on nonsense. You understand, right? Those things, they waste time. You just waste like 5 years just on nothing. Yes. So please just make sure that you focus on what God is teaching. You understand? The church is not anybody's concern. The church is Jesus Christ's concern. Are we together? Now, the specific reason why I'm mentioning this, I told this same message to the guys at Ojodu, I think like 2-3 weeks ago. I'm not sure. And then in the past, I told them, but I haven't had the chance to tell you yet. So I want to tell you specifically, you know. There's currently a man of God that is gaining a lot of popularity because he's attacking other men of God, right? And his name is Abel Damina, okay? And, you know, if you see his video on YouTube, it's 50,000 views. You know, if those are the things that are attracting you, you think there's sense in, there's no sense in lots of views. That something has 1 million views doesn't mean that the thing is sensible. Are we together? So don't be sad. Maybe if you see church views only 95, don't be sad. Don't think that your church is not blowing yet. No, that's not how the thing works. Are we together? Okay. So the man is having a good time, you know, currently, because he's been very argumentative and he's been very you know, and you know those things, the world always, you know, popularity that you did not gain in all the years that you are looking for popularity. If I come and I start talking now that, you know, you see Papi, this man you're calling Papi, is a fake man of God. I've been with him since they want. You know, all the people that don't like him would call me. They can even give me money, Seth. They can give me podcasts. You know, they'll sponsor me, you know. They can, you know, and, you know, if I let her get to my head that, oh, wow, you know, that is a good thing. Well, eventually, I'll learn my lesson. So please, those things, you will always see those things you get. Huh? If a few years ago, like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, it was another man of God, Reverend Sunday Adelaja. He was the same person. He was doing the same thing. Yeah, today, where is he? We don't know where he is. You know, I think his church, I think they scattered his church. Now he's in Ukraine. So when they invaded Ukraine, even the church said he had to run. He left everything. You know, now we're not hearing of him again. You know, so these things, they come in cycles. You know, are we together? Yeah. And please don't join anybody to insult men of God. Yeah. Even this thing I'm telling you, I'm not telling you that you insult man of God. I'm just telling you so that you will abstain from that kind of behavior, and you will not allow those things poison your mind. Huh? Are we together?
Yes.
All right. Good. So that's the first thing. So the second thing, let's go to John 16. John 16. Verse 31. Did they shout hallelujah? All right, cool. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. It's Christabel. Let them respond if Christabel is down. So let me read it again before I say what I want to say. 31. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Can we say that together? I have overcome the world. She's not around. Okay. So at this point in time in the journey with Jesus, or before I even say that, let me say that. You see, walking with God is a journey. It's not like a class. Are we together? Huh? What I mean by that is that in a class, you know exactly the amount of time that you should spend in primary one. Do you understand? Right? There is already a calendar. Yeah, it's already given to you ahead of time, you know. So we know that Nigeria is not normal, because students will enter university for a 4-year course and come out 6 years later. Abi?
Yes.
Now we know that that's why the country is not okay. Do you get my points, right? If the country was okay, or if you had money to go to a private school, your 4 years would be your 4 years. Are we together? Your 5 years will be your 5 years. So that's what a school is. And that's what I mean by school. And so when I say that walking with God is not like that, what I'm saying is that it's not like you can't tell yourself that I'm going to grow in the next 6 months. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? A lot of us have this problem where we, You think you are not growing because you don't feel like you are growing. Do you guess? You know, so some people will say, and I think you are speaking about this, someone can come and say, ah, my, you know, I've been fasting and praying, but I've not felt, you know, anything. It's because you give yourself a time that, okay, after these 2 weeks, I'll start seeing visions. You understand? But that's not how it works. Are we together? It's a journey. Everybody say it's a journey.
It's a journey.
You get. You know, there are various ways to go from here to Ikeja. You can get from here to Ikeja in 30 minutes. I mean, you can get from here to Ikeja in 2 days. Instead of going the straight way, you can go now into Abeokuta and say you want to use the other way. You know, so you now go, maybe even go to Southeast. There'll be road now. It's not like you see there's no road. So you can go, if I can even like that, go do 360. You know, around Nigeria, you go to Sokoto and you know, you go and come back to Ikeja. You get my point, right? That's how it is. You know, that's why the children of Israel, the original journey was 40 days, but they spent 40 years. You get my point, right? So the point is that the nature of our work with God is that the timing is in God's hands. Now, based on how we respond, we can make the timing shorter. Are we together? We can just make the timing on point or longer. These are my points. Because there's a time that has been appointed already for certain things that are going to happen. Do you get my points? Right? Now that timing, there's nothing you can do. It can't be shorter. Yet it can only be on point. So with the children of Israel, there was no way that they could have said, we are going to do this thing in 20 days. Because that was not the allocation of grace for that journey. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you with me? Right? The allocation of grace for that journey was 40 days. Now, because the people were not responding well, God said, let's now elongate this thing to 40 years. Do you understand my point? Right? So that's the first thing, that our work with God is a journey. It's not like a... So don't put yourself under pressure. You see, when you want to move with God, there's nothing you can do. You can't speed it up. Just be doing the thing the way you have been taught to do the thing. Huh? And be patient with yourself. Okay? Are we together? Yeah. Please respond. You're not responding to me. Yeah. I know your heart is in me, but I need you to respond. So, just be doing what God is saying you should be doing. Don't think about, you know, don't put yourself under pressure to say that, oh, wow, I need to be powerful by in the next 6 months. That's not how the thing works. Are we together? You journey with God. Everybody say, you journey with God.
Journey.
The journey we got. And that journey has, you see, that journey, it's a journey of ups and downs. Are we together? Are we together? That journey is a journey of ups and downs. The down is not down because of your faults. The down is down because God has ordained there to be a downtime. Huh? That's why Jesus Christ will say that in this world there's tribulation. You know, Jesus Christ will tell you, which is when I enter the thought thing I want to say. But Jesus Christ does not lie to people. He's the kind of person that if you say he wants to, because he's not looking for fans, you know? So he's the kind of person that if you want to enter into business with him, he will tell you that, hey, this thing that you are entering into, this is what is going to happen. And the Jesus Christ will tell people, imagine you want to marry a girl and you tell the person that, hey, if you marry me, they suffer. You know, nobody will say that kind of thing. Everybody will say, wow, if you marry me, in fact, it's just from here, you're moving to Canada, you're moving to, you know, that's what everybody will say. You know, but that's not Jesus Christ is. You understand? Jesus Christ will tell you, you know, imagine in this 32, he said, all of you will be scattered. You know? In verse 33, he will not say, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Amen. Amen. So nobody can say God is deceiving them. Jesus Christ has already told you from the beginning that in this journey with me, there will be tribulation. Can we say that together? There will be tribulation. Yeah, there will be tribulation. And the tribulation is not, you see, that you don't have money is not tribulation. It can be part of it, but that's not really it, because that you don't have money is maybe because maybe your parents didn't go to school. You know, it can be an explainable human reason. You get, it's not compulsory. That this tribulation, rich people have this tribulation, poor people have these tribulations, tall people have this tribulation, people in America have this tribulation, people in Nigeria have this tribulation, people in Congo have this tribulation, people in Ukraine, and everybody will have this tribulation. What it's talking about here, it goes beyond, it can start with your physical circumstances, but it goes beyond your physical circumstances. It's just talking about the nature of your journey with God on this earth. It's going to bring times of trouble, right? Same way it's going to bring times of joy and victory. It is ordained by God. There's nothing you can do. I can't pray to you. I can't pray to God and say, oh God, let them not face tribulation. That's a very bad prayer. Are we together? Are we together? Huh? I've never for one day prayed for all our people in university and say, oh God, let them not have trouble. That is a wrong prayer. Yes, they will have trouble. And some people will see one lecture that will say, in this my course, you either pay me money or you fail. You get the point. Right? Are we together? So, we don't know how the thing would, it's just like, it's like dice. You don't know the one that, you know, the one that you will see. Right? And please, like I said, I'm not talking about sin. If sin brought problem, that is not tribulation. That is your foolishness that brought problem. Okay? For instance, if you got to steal in market and they burn you with tire, it's not, that's not the trial of your feet. Yes, and that's the response of barbarians to people that they caught stealing. Are we together? Yeah. However, while they're putting the tire, you can see they're asking God for mercy. You know? And we never know, maybe angel will come and do the tire. Or if you're born, you see yourself in heaven. You know? You get, right? So nothing spoiled on down. But what I'm talking about is, as a result of the fact that you want to journey with God, it will get into times of trouble. It's going to happen. Are we together? Some of it is already happening to you. You might not know it, but it's already happening to you. So, in verse 32, in verse 32, it says, can please confirm, is it clear? The background noise, is it filtering into? App is not disturbing me. In verse 32, it says, before the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that she shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Hallelujah. So the disciples are journeying to this point in time with God, with Jesus. Okay. Where Jesus was telling them that, look, see, where we are now, is trouble. You know, these are at the point we're about to arrest Jesus, right? So what he's saying, that where we are now is trouble, and what's going to happen now is that they scatter. But he said something very important. He said, look, you people are going to leave me alone, but I am not alone because God is with me. Hallelujah. Right? So one of the first things to learn about going through tough times and going through that tribulation is that you need to learn how to be okay with God alone. Are we together? Can we say, I am okay with God alone? Yeah. I am okay with God alone. Huh? Everybody is not there immediately. Oh. You understand? But eventually, you'll be learning the things small, 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 small. But as I tell you the truth, there are some problems that you cannot share. Okay? Now, you know what I said? What I'm talking about is not sin issue. If you have sin, go and report yourself and ask for prayer. What I'm talking about is the challenges of life that come as a result of the journey with God. Are we together? So, I mean, for instance, if your parents cannot come and share with you, you know, now, how many of you are going to school this new week? You're starting class. Are you done? No, you're going now. I mean, raise your hand now. Okay. Your parents, you know, your parents are not coming to share with you the wahala that is on their mind now. You know, honorary and buying your, I don't know how your school is, but you know, if they want to buy your shoe now, you know, probably can't come and tell you that, hey, you know, can you imagine this shoe was 5K as at this time last year, now they're calling me 15, you know, honorary sandal. Yeah. You know, they can't come and tell you that one. If they tell you that one, what will you say? It'll be awkward now. You'll just be like, what should I do? Yeah. What should I do? I don't know. So that's what I mean, you know, it's not everything that people can share, you know, because there's no point. It's pointless, you know. So as a man, you should be careful, especially as men, you should be careful. What is mental health? It's not everything that's, you know, that's the man that you would share, because men have a lot of problem, you know. So the solution is not to go on Twitter and be shouting mental health. That's not the solution. You get, as a man, your mental health will always be under attack. Just take it that way. You understand? It's your ordainment as a man. You understand? Huh? Look at Indy this week now. He has been sleeping in Ojodu, you know. You understand? When he got married, wife, did you know that 2 weeks after marriage, you know, wife will be admitted to hospital. Yes. They won't tell you. God won't tell you. On the wedding day, God will just be saying, wow, wow, wow. wow, fantastic. You know? Yes. In fact, you never know if God has been preserving that sickness in the body. You say, no, this thing was not manifest now. No. Let's wait. Yes, great. After marriage, you get right. So, but I mean, she's fine. She's operating. I know most of you are now. She was in the hospital, but she's fine, and she's gonna keep getting better and better in Jesus. So you get right. So that's the thing. Now you just I don't around. Problem. I guess it always be like that. That's how life will be. Are we together? And it's based on the ordainment of God. You know me, shout hallelujah. So you need to be able to walk with God alone. Huh? You will be learning it small. You won't just if you have problem now, please share your problem with somebody. But you won't just eventually you'll be learning it small. Eventually, as you're progressing in life, it will be going. And then eventually you will learn how to depend on God alone. Are we together? So you need to have that desire. You need to know that that's where God is taking you to, right? And in verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, you might have peace. Huh? In the world, you shall have tribulation. But in me, what will you have? Peace. What will you have in the world? What will you have in me? Peace. Fantastic. In me, you will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. In me, you will have peace. Okay? So, what that tells you is that don't waste your time looking for peace in the world. Already just know that in the world is tribulation. Are we together? Conclude. Okay? The world has nothing to give you but trouble. Are we together? If you want peace in this world, go and meet Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? What did I say? The world has nothing to give you but tribulation. So don't be shocked that things are tough in Nigeria. Don't expect, you see, that's the problem. You see, because we are expecting something that Tinubu cannot give you. Do you get my point? All right? So don't be complaining. If there's a problem in your marriage, don't be complaining. Don't say it's Jonathan or it's Tinubu. Yes, it's not the problem for your marriage. If your marriage is not, well, that's not your list. But don't be hoping. You know, I see many people hope. Especially, you know, everybody's, you know the way this thing is now. Well, you guys might not know because you guys don't discuss politics like that. But, you know, typically every politician has his four, you know, like now you have four APC supporters. They're the last. They're the ones that are remaining. Every other person has switched. You know, even those that maybe just voted for him, you know, and let's just vote for him. You know, all those ones will switch. They're now swearing for him, you know. That's usually how it is, you know. Your support will be dwindling, it's not. So when it's just your core supporters. So right now, it's just the core supporters. I see them in my office, you know. You know, some people are still hoping, as far as reach 8, something else. Some people are still hoping that, you know, when that day starts, it will come down, you know. I know what they are doing. One guy was telling me in the office, this is just speculation. It's just speculation. We are still waiting. You know, the man is putting his faith in APC. Are we together? Are we together? Don't put your faith in APC. Get my point, right? Put your faith in God. The world will give you tribulation, but Jesus will give you peace. So don't be hoping. You know, you don't want to be in a place where you're hoping that, yes. Men are wicked though. Men don't send you. Yes. Don't think that man is sleeping bad though. As Nigerians are suffering like this, that man is not sleeping with guilty conscience though. The man is sleeping like a baby. You understand? Are we together? Yeah. Because you too, of all the people that you've been seeing, maybe on the road, you've been seeing beggar. You've never slept. All those beggars. You slept. In fact, if you had AC, put that AC on. If you have movies, say, let's watch movies. Yes. The moment you left, you forgot about it. Yes. Right? It's Jesus that has compassion on people. Men don't have compassion on people like that. Are we together? Right? So you don't look for peace in the places where you can't get peace from. You know, as a woman, don't look for peace in a man. Don't wait until one man will come and take you, you know, a while you come and take me from poverty, you come and, you know, many people do this, and that's why they marry their old boys, you know, because they're waiting for someone to come and pay your school fees, you know. Don't put your peace in men, put it in Jesus. And then he says something very powerful. He said, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. Why? For I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, there's no time because I need to end this now and go to the main topic. But basically, one of the major things that you need to learn in your walk with God is that you need to learn how to praise God. Amen? You need to learn how to praise God. Okay? It's an important thing that you need to add to your arsenal, how to praise God. Yes. It's prayer, but it's not exciting prayer. What I mean by that is that Pentecostally, you know, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but I understand when you are still walking with God in the early stages, at first, you know, speaking in tongues will be shocking you. And so you think that the solution to every problem in life, if I can just speak in tongues for 10 minutes, it has its place. But what I mean is something completely different from that. Are we together? You see, when you are going through tough situations, you have to learn how to surrender those situations to God. And how you surrender those situations to God is that you go and you praise God. Okay? Are we together? How you surrender those situations to God is that you go and you praise Him. You can enter into vigilante mode, meaning, okay, we are going to blast tongues on this thing, and that thing will not go. You know, the worry, as you are shouting more, the worry will be increasing more. The anxiety will be increasing more. Now, does that thing happen to anybody? It happens, yeah. Now, the reason why that thing happens is because that's the wrong tool for that issue. Okay? That's the reason why it's happening. I'm just simplifying it now. So, I'm just saying it direct. So, I'm not, you know, that's the wrong tool for that thing. Yes. If somebody now, which, you know, tends to happen at times, maybe a woman, she's feeling sad that maybe she thinks she's not beautiful enough because nobody wants to marry her. I'm just giving an example. Yeah. And she's feeling sad and everything. You see, that feeling of sadness, it is there in the soul. And it is there in the soul because some transactions have not yet happened. There's nothing she wants to do. That thing will always be there in the soul. Are we together? The way to expunge that thing is to carry that thing to praise. Meaning that despite the fact that this thing is here, I'm going to praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what Jesus means by be of good cheer. Because while you people are going through this thing, you'll be feeling, if they are wiping you with skin, you'll be feeling it. You get it. It's not like, when they are beating the apostles, it's not like the Holy Spirit is making the blow be like pillow. Yeah, they're feeling it like, you get it, right? You'll be feeling it. You'll be going through it. But then in that mist, right, you will still take a position of cheerfulness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. So that's the mistake that we make at times where we want to kill it. No, it's not about killing it. It's about going through it. So let me use that example of somebody that is feeling unwanted or unloved. You know, in that place of being unwanted and unloved, you will activate praise. You will start singing and say, you know, whatever as the thing is doing in your heart, you will start praising God. Even though you are feeling it. Are we together? You will praise God today. You will feel it. Tomorrow, we praise God. We still feel it. 3 days later, we praise God. We still feel it. The thing might come occasionally. We'll be praising God. We still feel it. Eventually, because of that position of praise, you will then deserve a visitation from God. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes.
Is that visitation from God that will then come and take that thing away? Hallelujah. So that's how you go through tough times and tough. That's one of the arsenals, or that's one of the tools that God has given us. Praise. This praise I'm talking about, eh? This praise I'm talking about is not dancing. It's dancing, but it's not the Christian version of club. You know, it's not just come and clap and sweat. That's not what I'm talking about. You can do that and you have not praised God at all. Are we together? What I'm talking about is looking at God from a place of victory and then singing songs. Typically, it tends to happen immediately. How many of you have noticed that at times when you are in a very tough situation, in your heart, it might be a small thing, but there will be one song that will want to come out. You've noticed that thing, have you? Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit wanting to activate that thing. Yeah. But at times we'll just, oh boy, oh boy, now while I do now, I don't get time for all these ones. You know, we'll just kill the thing. You know, typically the Holy Spirit will want to activate praise in you. Yes. And all you need to do, you don't need to, you see, that's, you don't need to feel good immediately. No, you can be feeling bad and still be praising. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can be feeling bad and still be praising. It doesn't mean the praise is rubbish. You don't need to feel good. So you don't need to be like Superman. Yeah. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. So I thought to share that because that's going to help us in our journey with God. You know, that is what you are going to use to rise above everything, is to praise Him. Yeah, is to go to Him and be singing songs. Eventually, what will happen is that your prayer will be shifting more to praise and worship. Yes, eventually, that's what would begin to happen. Small. But like I said, it's a journey. It's not a one-day thing, you know. All these things that God has given us, they all have their place. You know? Hallelujah. Does anybody have any questions? Let me, I don't know, maybe some if anybody in Ojudo has a question, you can tell them to type your question so that they'll tell me that I will try and answer your question. Hallelujah. You have a question? Okay.
So the question is, is it that it will stop coming and you have to do it yourself? Whether it will just keep coming, you participate
in it. Yeah. So it's like that. The more you agree to the Holy Spirit, so those of us that energy probably couldn't hear him. So what he was saying, what Samuel was saying was that if you've been killing the voice of praise in you, is it that it will stop? You know? Yeah, that's true, it will stop. The nature of your relationship with the Holy Spirit is that the more you agree, the more the thing gets better. The more you disagree, the more it will just be allowing you. You get. You understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's the way you respond. That's why we have times of refreshing and fire. So occasionally, they'll just after you've done nonsense, they'll just say, yeah, let's give you fresh fire. Let's help him. You know, which all of us need, even me myself. You know, but that's why they give us refreshing so that they can try again. It gets but even you don't need to feel a song in you. That's what I'm teaching you. If your mind is in that place, you can do yourself. You understand? All right. And this thing is basic. You know, you go back to the song of your child. Or what I mean, you go back to the song of your real self. You know. Yes, I've never for once sang any of our songs in my prayer time. Never. Maybe occasionally when things are going, but when there's problem, you know the song now that you go to maybe. You understand the kind of songs I'm going to now. Maybe to Eve is one deep Yoruba song like that I learned when you were young. You know? Amen. Yeah. Is there any question? Okay. Cool. I'm moving on. So nobody has typed anything. I'll move on now. Hallelujah. You know, I'm really very, very happy to see everyone. Especially you, Lolade. I'm very happy to see you. I think I have a word for you. I'm not sure. But my heart is just happy to see you. When last have we seen? Have you long, Gabby? Yeah. Long. All right. So today, I want to start a series on wealth, on money. I want to start a series on wealth. I didn't want to actually, but I was just yesterday just flashed in my mind. I was like, we're already in September, because in October I have something else that I want us to talk about. So I'll just start on wealth. That's the topic, wealth. Today's subtopic is the purpose of wealth. We were looking at wealth in general. Wealth, money, ego, whatever you want to call it in your this thing. And today we want to talk about the purpose of wealth. And I really want you to open your hearts. You know, I want you to open your hearts, because this kind of topic, I think, can mess your day. You know, this is what I want to say today. If you don't open your heart, it can just mess up your day. In fact, you can even be rethinking Christianity, you know, from the things I will say today. But I know that won't be a portion in Jesus' name. So in Luke verse 12, verse 14, Luke chapter 12, verse 14. Oh, let's start from 13. From verse 1 to verse 12, Jesus has been preaching. If you have red letter, this thing, you see that most of it is red. You know, Jesus has been talking. He has been preaching. And when he was preaching, you know, someone came and asked a very interesting question. And he says in verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Hallelujah. Meaning that this guy was having, you know, many people come to Jesus for many things, and this guy was having family issue with his brother, you know. Maybe their parents had just died, and, you know, how many of you are expecting house from your parents when they die? You know. You know, most of us, you might not say you say it, but truthfully, we are waiting for our parents to die. You know. No, I'm serious. You know, you might not say it. Not in a bad way. What I just mean is, like, you get your house, you know. Especially if your parents have house, your parents have shares in GTB, all those kind of things. Not you, maybe not you, but there are a lot of people. You know, there are people that their plan in life is to for their parents to die. You know, like that's their plan in life. That's what their life is based on. You know, they've planned. You know, the parents are not dead yet, but they've already sold the house. Yes, in their mind, you know, they've already okay, this thing, 50 million. Okay. So if I sell this land for 50 million now, I will use 10 million, you know, use this, do that. They've already shared the money. But the house is still there, the parents are still alive, but they've already done all of that. So it's actually a huge issue, you know. And it's something that causes a lot of fights. Especially when there's now multiple, maybe it's polygamy. You know. And usually what will happen is that the man, the stupid man, before he dies, he will not marry one 22-year-old girl. You know, and maybe that won't be giving him food. Won't be treating him well. He will not give like the whole thing to her. Then all the older women are, you know, will fight. He can even kill himself. He can kill, you know, they enter into diabolic jazz, you know. So anyway, it causes a lot of issues. So it's a huge issue. It's a huge issue. If the inheritance issue is a huge issue, you know. So in this situation, so the guy came to Jesus with this issue and said, you know, Master, come and, you know, speak to my brother that he divides the inheritance with me. Hallelujah. And then he said unto him in verse 14, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? All right? So this issue that was huge to this man was not huge to Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? This issue that was huge to this man was not that huge to Jesus. In fact, Jesus not even rubbished the whole thing. In verse 15, he now said, And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Or a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. Hallelujah. So this man had come to Jesus and he had brought a money issue, right? He had brought an inheritance issue. No, I'm talking about wealth, Abby. And Jesus rubbished his issue. And Jesus said that, look, see, this money matter, I am not even going to even address it. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm not your father, I'm not your mother, so I'm not the one that will decide who will own whose property. Number two, even if you were to have the entire of the property, 100%, it doesn't mean that me and you are now, me and you, the needle between me and you has not changed. Do you get my point? Because I was never going to judge you based on whether you had money or not. Are we together? Are we together? So, it's a very sobering thing, you know, I tell you the truth, because now to you, now the most important thing to you is the money that you are going to make. Whether you say it or not, it is, you get in this world, you know, it is. But that conversation, if that conversation is not had the right way, when you bring that conversation to God, God will say, what do I have to do with this money that you're talking about? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? So why? Why is it saying that? Because your life is not about how much you have or how much you don't have. The conversation I have with people is a conversation about life. I mean, I came to give people eternal life. That's what Jesus came to do. So that conversation has very little to do with how much you have or how much you don't have. That conversation is a higher conversation. I will say that life is higher than money. I will say it again. life is higher than money. And so in the next, continuing, I think verse 16, he then now starts another teaching. You know, it's just a very funny guy. So he was teaching, and then this guy came to ask his question. And then he now started another sermon. In verse 16, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Huh? But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Hallelujah. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Hallelujah. Now, this thing that this man says, say the truth, is it a bad thing? Do you think it's a bad thing? The man did not say, I'll use my money to hire assassins to kill other people. Yeah. The man did not say, I'll use my money to gather babes. I'm not, it is I'll gather babes. Yes, no. The man said that I will use my money to enjoy. Have you know? His own money. I will use my money. Let's read it. And he said, this will I do. 18. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You understand? Meaning that what he's going to do is that I'm going to increase the size of my bank account. I have one bank account in Zenith Bank. I'm going to open another one in GTB. Have you? And then by the time I've put, you know, how many of you think that, if they cannot give me $1 billion, I would not walk again in my life. I'll just be at home enjoying, you know. I'll just be at home, you know. You know, these are things that we dream about now. If this Elon Musk, just 1 million, out of all this is below, can you just give me $1 million so that I can just be okay, no more work. I'll just be at home, wake up, you know, eat, go to bed, watch all the movies I want to watch, you know. The response to God, to that kind of heart, is doubtful. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is very serious. So, meaning that if a man is thinking that in this life, when I hit this money, I will enjoy. The response to that is, you are a fool. Amen. This preach is not a happy preaching. The response of God to that thing is that, you are a fool. That you are thinking of money and that the only thing you are thinking of is, okay, we go just from here, we go from here, we go from here to Zimbabwe, you know, and we'll spend like 3 weeks on the beach and then we'll come back, you know. That thinking is, fool. You are a fool. Amen. Let's not read verse 20. Or let's reread it. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Hallelujah. So what it means is that the reason why that thinking means that you are a fool is that you are not thinking of the most important thing. Are we together? In other words, There are other issues that should be occupying your mind. I need to listen to me because I'm saying something very important. I need to listen well so that you really understand what I'm saying. What God is saying is that there are other issues that should occupy your mind. So therefore, money is not an excuse to get into a sense of enjoyment. Do you get my point? If what money does to you is that it makes you enter into a state of, I'm now okay, then that means that you are rich physically, but with God, you are not rich. Do you understand? Because irrespective of whether you have money or whether you don't have money, you should know that you and God have a journey. Do you get my point? So there are issues between you and God that have nothing to do with money. Be okay with Christians being poor. God doesn't see it as an insult to himself. Do you get my point? You understand my point? Yeah? Now, there are Christians that are poor, even though God does not want them to be poor. You understand my point, right? God does not want this guy to be poor, but this guy, for one or two reasons, is poor. God will not use that and say, I will not talk to him again. He's embarrassing me. God will still be visiting the guy with dream and vision. You get? If God will talk to him like that, issue does not exist. The guy can, even though God wants this guy to be rich, the guy can be looking at people and saying, people, you don't know the relationship I have with God. You get my point, right? So I'm not even talking about someone that is poor, but God does not want a person to be poor, which is what we'll get to. But today, this is foundational stage. We're talking about the purpose of wealth. Are we? Now, there are now people that are poor because God wants them to be poor. You don't believe me? Huh? Do you believe me? No. Say. Do you believe me? Huh? What I mean is that, and it's very simple. There are people who don't have money in their bank accounts, and God ordained it that way. For example, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, God specifically chose him to be born into a family of people that didn't have money. God did not say, my son is coming to the earth, he must be born in a king's palace. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So to him, the issue is not really whether one has money, whether one does not have money, is not affecting how he's relating with that person. Praise God. Amen. This is beating. Don't bring your head down. Bring your head down. Bring your head down. Don't worry. Luke 12, Abby. 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I mean, and that's the reason, why is it that people don't want to go to village and serve God in village? Because in village, there's no need for BMW. If God is sending out to my village, the hope of BMW has scattered. I mean, it's not even village that, village that doesn't have a road. The hope of the bicycle. Right? So why is it that God can look at his child, plastic child, and say, okay, why don't you go to this place and be with these people and preach the kingdom to these people and do everything to them? And that's his fantastic child, because to him, He has his own version of riches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So there is man's version of riches and wealth. There is God's version of riches and wealth. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together? So a man can be rich in man's version and poor in God's version. He can be rich in man's version, rich in God's version. Okay? He can be poor in man's version, rich in God's version. The issue is, are you rich in God's version? Now, what we'll look at is that when you are rich in God's version, you will not even feel like being rich in man's version. Because you're not getting anything from it again. Did you hear what I said? We'll get there. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. So you see that conversation around life again. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thoughts can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thoughts for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful minds. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what does God want to give you?
Kingdom.
The kingdom. Right? Now, in that kingdom that he's giving you, there are additions, right? One of the additions are all these things that you need. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So what God wants you to do is that he wants you to seek the kingdom. Now, in that seeking the kingdom, what it will naturally produce is a desire to be rich with God, because God's riches are in his kingdom, right? Now, the side effects that happens, right, is that there is now a provision for all these things. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So all these things are not the main attraction. Do you get my point? Right? They are not the main attraction. They are the side attraction. There's something else that is happening. You get? So that's what you understand what I was saying. What I was saying when I said that God can relate with the poor person. He's not moved. He's not like either the poverty is self-induced. You know, God will still relate with the person. Are you understand what I'm saying? Right? Because that is a satisfaction. Yes, he's not altering how he's perceiving the world. He's not altering anything. That is a completely side attraction. So it is important to understand, please understand this thing, that the person you are dealing with sees physical wealth as a side story. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You only see physical wealth as the main story. All together. So if you want to go and talk to people that see physical wealth as the main story, you have to lead him. He will always see this thing as a side attraction. He will see it as something that is a natural occurrence of us of being on this journey. He wouldn't see it as the main show. He wouldn't see it as the main reason why you are with me. He can't see it that way. It's always the side. That's why of all the needs one can have, you know, people come to Jesus with needs. Some people come to Jesus, they want baby, they want this thing, and it's fine. Jesus will say, I come, I'll heal you, I'll do everything. The worst of those is to be rich, because that one, God will make sure that he will forge that thing from your heart. Are we together? He can start. He has the time. He can wait, you know. So of all the things that, you know, just make sure that that one is, if you say, if God should not say, okay, I will show you two riches. You think it can take time. Are we together? And God has time. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You want me to shout hallelujah? So what we call, so in this conversation of wealth, it's important to understand that there is man's wealth, there is God's wealth. Are we together? Are we together? How many types of wealth are they? What are they? Man's wealth and God's wealth. Sorry. So there are two types. So when we say that we want you to be wealthy, we are primarily talking about God's wealth. Don't misunderstand what we are talking about. We are primarily talking about God's wealth. That's what we are talking about. Okay? What we call the corruption or the corrupt prosperity gospel is where there is now a switch. Do you get my point? For example, what I'm preaching is hard. I know it's hard, but this is prosperity gospel I'm preaching. Now, the one that is corrupt is when you now switch it and say that man's wealth is equal to God's wealth. That's when there's a corruption. That's when you start seeing Yahoo Yahoo in church. Or Yahoo Yahoo spirit. You know, meaning a Yahoo Yahoo guy will do Yahoo Yahoo and have the confidence to pay tithe and bring tithe to his pastor. And the pastor too will collect it. You know? Just like now, Ebenezer now bring tithe of 1 million. It means I'm not calculating. If this guy can bring tithe of 1 million, that means that this guy make 10 million. And the man will just he will not say, well, God can do anything. No, he's greed in the heart. We know God can do anything, but you will ask and say, okay, how did you make 10 million? You get points, right? No, that's what happens when you switch, when you switch it. Yes, it becomes corrupted. Okay? So when we talk about wealth, what we are talking about is God's wealth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what we have said is that when one has God's wealth, that person will have natural wealth as a side attraction. Meaning that God's wealth will attract physical wealth. But that physical wealth is not God's wealth. It is what is being attracted by God's wealth. So if I want to teach you how to be wealthy, what I'll teach you is how to be rich with God. If I can teach you how to be rich with God, then I'm sure that you will attract physical wealth. You get my point? If I've not taught you how to be rich with God, I'm suspicious. Yes. Amen. You know what I'm so I think your heart should have come down small, Abby. Yeah. You know, it's no longer bing, 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 bing. We're going somewhere. No, but anyway, we'll soon end. I'll end this soon. We'll continue where we continue from. So there is man's wealth. There is God's wealth. Yes. And most of the time, the reason why, you see, the reason why God cannot bless us is because he wants man's wealth. Are we together? In fact, from this thing Jesus was talking about, worry comes from when you are trying to be rich. Are we together? Meaning worry comes from when your mind is trying to acquire man's wealth. You must be anxious. If your aim in life is to acquire man's wealth, you will be anxious. You will worry. Are we together? So that's where worry comes from. Yes. Huh? That's where worry comes from. Because even the way you are judging it, I mean, there's some of you now that think that you are poor, but you are not poor. Yes. You are actually not poor. You understand? Many of you are actually not poor. Many of you are richer than the people that you admire in the Bible. You are living a better life. Huh? What was Apostle Paul using to brush his teeth? Huh? Chewing stick. Have enough. Have enough. Huh? You are living a far better life than the people you are admiring in the Bible. You get? Huh? The fact that some of you can even sleep and there's light and fan is blowing you. Yes, you are living a far better life than almost even the kings of the Bible. Are we together? Yeah, far better life. So, I just saw somebody in the Jodu doing one funny thing. I saw your heart in the spirit. So, worrying about wealth is the sign that you are, you know, anybody that is saying, will I be rich? Will I be rich? Will I be rich? Is because you are chasing man's wealth. You can never capture, say, you cannot be rich in God and be worried that you'll be rich on earth. It's not possible. Yes, sir. Meaning, you can't be somebody that has riches or treasure in heaven and you'll be worried on the earth. It is not possible. It is not possible at all. I can explain it in a very practical way, but I wouldn't. It would be too practical. It would be too tough. But let me keep on explaining this thing about the difference between man's wealth and God's wealth. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. Now, one of the reasons why I'm teaching you this thing, is so that you can be specific about what you're going to use money to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eh? Remember, we read the story where the dreaming about enjoyment is foolish. You get God's response to that thing is you're a fool. You understand? And the reason why his response to that thing is that you're a fool is because there is a reason why he has wealth and the reason why he gives wealth that has nothing to do with your stomach. You get God does not have ambition to give someone pot belly. That's not how, you know, God does not have ambition to give somebody big car. That's not why he gives wealth. There is a reason why he gives wealth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eh? You know, I was saying that some of you think you are poor. Many of the people that are looking at as well, you are eating the same way. Meaning, the guy will be eating food, because he assumes that because he can buy it, he should eat it. Now, when he lives his life that way, he will destroy his body. That's the nature of that thinking. Enjoyment thinking. Whatever you say, okay, if I can afford it, that means it is legitimate. You see, that means if I can afford this food, I must eat it. He will be eating rubbish, drinking 5 Coke a day. By the time he's 45, he'll start having health issues. He will not be on diets, eating worse than you that you think you are poor. I'm serious. If you see the diet regime some people are on, serious diets. In fact, after a while, they will tell you no more sugar. Just eliminate it from your diet. It's killing you. So the guy can't even take sweets. He can't take sweets. He can't do anything. He's living a more disciplined life than you that you think you are poor. Do you get my point? So that you can't eat all the food in the world. God is not in a rush to make you not eat all the food in the world, because to him, it's not affecting your destiny at all. Do you understand? Are we together? Yes. Destiny is not tied to iPhone. It's not in this life. Before I die, I must use iPhone. Are we together? I hear what I'm saying. Again, it's not like, oh, the things I've missed out in life, I must touch them. It's very possible that you will never travel to America. It's not a promise of God. Amen. You understand? God is not going to give you money just because, okay, I just want you to travel to America. You get? God is not going to give you money because, oh, I just want you to have iPhone. That's not the reason why God gives money. It's very possible that you will live your life, your entire life, you will never use iPhone, but you will achieve your destiny. You get? So you're not missing out. You know what I'm saying? All right? You're not missing out. So in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, and, you know, this is the problem that people have, when I was young, people used to have this issue with the fact that Jesus was not physically wealthy like that, you know. And people used to, I don't know if people still do it now, but people used to make all sorts of scriptural arguments that actually Jesus was rich. The donkey, is not everybody that's right on donkey in that time. How many of us have heard those? You know, is not everybody that's right on donkey, you know. It's a pointless argument. You are arguing for God. Yet. Huh? Are we together? Yet. Jesus was not a billionaire. There's no scripture. You can't debate it. You have to be mixing scripture where you don't need to mix scripture. If you cannot look at Jesus's life and say that this guy was living the life of Dangote. He was not. You understand? He clearly was not. You get my point? He's a man that the church account was zero. They said, come and pay tax. Okay, I had to tell Peter, they had to bring tax miraculously. You guys, he clearly was not like Dangote. And he doesn't take away from the fact that he was your savior, or that he's your savior. You understand? Right? It doesn't take away from the fact that he is our savior. Why? Because he is rich with God. Do you understand? So we don't need to make up a false image of Jesus. Do you get my point? You know, all the arguments when Jesus said it's hard for rich people that come. You don't need to be that. No, the camel is not smoking. It's actually small. You know, so he can still. No. What he was saying something. There is something that he was saying. Look at what he was saying. Stop being afraid. Look at what he was saying. What was he saying? Hallelujah. So please don't feel the need to defend Jesus, you know. Yeah, Jesus is not yes, you know, Jesus is not like you that is feeling bad that oh wow. You know, I wish you had three donkeys instead of only one. He's not being direct. You get he's not being direct. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Huh? Your Lord, your Savior, came into this earth in the most humble way possible, nothing spoiled. You get rather see it as inspiration because a lot of you are coming from what men will call disadvantaged background. Right? So see that yes, Jesus is like me. You get the Savior of the world came into my type of situation. Are we together? You get. So with God, I can be wealthy. Which will always translate into the physical wealth at the end of the day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But don't try and hype up, you know. He gets man, God did not create us to wear Rolex watch. It's not an ambition. God is not proud that his children are wearing Rolex. Do you understand? God has never for one day been proud that, oh, my children are driving Jeeps. My, you know, God is... Hallelujah. What separates us is not that, okay, believers are driving Jeep, unbelievers are driving Toyota. That's not how the thing works. I guess. And that's why we always, you know, that's why I can't preach to Dangote. Because, okay, now, okay, Dangote has all the money in the world. What do you want to tell him? Why does he need to be born again? Why does Davido need to be born again? Yes. Huh? No, some of us even think that God is blessing Davido. You know, some of us genuinely think that God blessed Davido. Okay. Some of us genuinely think that God blessed Dangote. Why? Because the only understanding of blessing is money. You don't know that you can see the man and see that this man is demons that are, you know, some of us can't see these things at all. Once you see money, you see God. Yeah. If there's no money, no God. You understand? So in 1 Timothy 6, I said, are you happy? If you're happy, shout hallelujah. Please, Ojudu people, are you happy? If you're happy, please tell me that you're happy. Let me be short so that you people are happy. Are they happy in the fact? They're happy. Okay. So, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Is she somewhere around? Let me confirm it. She's somewhere around. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. For we brought nothing into this world. This is your Bible, Lord. This is not, they didn't. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Hallelujah. Huh? In verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. It's profit. Hmm? So you have to measure gain when you want to start discussing wealth with God. You have to measure gain based on godliness. Hallelujah. Meaning you have to switch your mind and measure gain based on godliness. So who is the richest among you, the most godly among you? Are we together? Huh? So your mind has to switch. If not, you will see the video and be thinking that God has blessed him. Yes. So how will you know that God can never bless such a person because he is not godly? So we know that the blessing of God is not on his head. Jesus. So therefore, we don't just know. It's not just that we know. We don't covet that kind of money. Are we together? Are we together? So we will not. So you will see one rich politician coming inside with his convoy, and you will swear, hey, I will never be like this man. Because as I'm seeing this man, I'm not seeing the blessing of God. What I'm seeing is curse. You understand? No godliness. If not, you and unbeliever will be having the same prayer points. Yet, you'll be desiring the same thing. Why? Because godliness is gain. Can we say it? Godliness is gain? Why would God say that to him, precious women are women that are quiet and humble spirits, which is of great value in the sight of God? So if God now is looking now and saying, okay, I want to give my finest guy to this girl, God will not look at it and say, okay, let's say, for instance, I was not married now, you know, or let me, I don't want to hype myself, but let me just permit me to hype myself and say, God, you know, God likes me a lot. Yes. Right. And God will say, okay, this guy, Kenneth is my guy. I want to give Kenneth to one girl. Who can I give Kenneth to? You know, the last thing that God will look at is beauty. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? The last thing that God will look at is hips and shape. God will look at it and say, who is valuable in my eye? And he will not say, oh yeah, go and meet that person. Amen. That's why I'm telling you, you ladies, don't judge your husband based on the fact that your makeup is small. You know, that I'm telling you, God has fantastic husbands. If the men in this church are not ready, God will bring fantastic men. I'm telling you the truth. Are we together? Yeah? If the men in this church are not ready, if they lie, let them not grow up. You understand? Let them not grow up. God will raise fantastic men. In fact, God will never send us as a church. They will come and carry away. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? They'll come and carry away. If the men will not have sense. You understand? Why? Because in God's eye, what is valuable? What he can see value? He must invest in that place. And his value will never be anything external. You get what you will see as rich. You will never see it as jewelry. You will never see it as those things. Those things are good, but they're just those things. You know, as extra addition. What you will always see as value is godliness. Is what's going on the inside. You get. So, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Hallelujah. And you understand the context of this rich. I mean, rich in man's context, right? So when there is that desire of just amassing wealth, what you notice, that's why, you know, even in the world, they will say more money, more problem. You will just be bringing, you know, you just start thinking, oh, wow. You know, so many people, what made them drop in How can the man be becoming worldly and then he will be, his spirituality will be dropping? Why should that happen? That when you are broke, you are praying. When you are rich, you are no more praying. Why should it happen? He said, think about your life. Will it happen to you? You know? That when you don't have light, you'll be praying. When they bring light, you'll not be praying because there's now a movie to watch. Is that a good thing? That when there's enjoyment, you'll not forget God. You travel all over the world, you'll not forget God. Why? It's not good. Are we together? It should be that as you're advancing in life, your prayer life is increasing. I think I've told you guys before now. I pray now more than I used to pray when I was broke. I pray more now. In fact, you can't even compare. It's not even comparable. In fact, if it's that, it's praying to bless people. Because you can't even compare it. They are two completely different people. You understand? And I'm proud about it. At times I say, oh, you see, at least I've proven to you that I love you. It's not money I love. You should be giving me money. Because I'm proven to you that it's you I love. Yeah. Because we are seeking God more now. You get, we are fasting more now that we have money to eat. You get, than when we were doing fasted life. That we didn't have money, so we just converted it to fasting. We are fasting more now that we have money to eat. You understand? That's how your life should be. Why? Because we are seeking riches with God. We are seeking godliness. Not just that we have money. Money for what? Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Is it your Bible? Don't hide. You know this tough scripture? It's tough because that is carnal. That is the proof that it's tough for you. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred through the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You see that? So Paul has the confidence to look at a man and say, look, actually, don't chase money, chase godliness. Are we together? I'm telling you with all sense of confidence, don't chase money, chase godliness. What you will find is that you get the godliness and you get the money. But if you chase money and you don't chase godliness, you might find the money, but I'm very sure you will not find the godliness. And even the money that you find will become your greatest wahala. Amen. So as I close now, let's look at Matthew 19. So it's for you to, I want you to, because we'll pray soon, so I want you to really organize yourself. You know, you have to organize your hearts. You have to see that some of the desires that you have are carnal and they have nothing to do with God making you rich. You get. So Matthew 19 verse 16 is a very popular story. Story of the rich young ruler. You know, these things that God has to have mercy on. Because I tell you, it's even what we see, you will see the mistakes that we have that the rich young ruler made, even the mistake that we have, even when we interpret the scripture, the carnality is too much. Let's read it. Verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is no good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which, Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Hallelujah. Now you see, you know why that this man felt sorrowful? I mean, it says it now, he had great possessions. But it's also because he thought that he was losing if he sold all that he had. Hallelujah. Because you see, if he sold all that he had, he was not losing. Because if you were to compare all of the wealth in the world and God's wealth, the two are not equal. Do you understand? So it is not, God is not doing you wicked if he tells you to give him all your money. Because if you give him all your money and he gives you a coin, the two are not, one is weightier than the other. Do you understand? Now what I've said now is the power of carnality. That's why it's hard to understand. There needs to be breakthrough. Meaning veil needs to be removed. So that you can see that even if God were to come, let's say I have 1 million naira in my account, and God were to come and tell me now and say, okay, give that whole 1 million naira in your account to the building project. If I'm giving that 1 million naira to the building project, I'm not losing 1 million naira. Even though physically the account will go from 1 million to zero, but with God, I have gained. Do you understand? So if the eye is only on the account, I've lost. But actually, the two are not equal. Matter is deep, Abby. But when the young man heard that saying, 22, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I tell you the truth. This one is hard, but just hear it. I tell you the truth. You must get to a point with God, where you can leave everything and follow God alone. If you're not there yet, so don't even try and... I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just telling you so that you will hear. Are we together? You must get to a point with God where you can forsake everything and follow God. Strive for it. I get that you will see God as the most valuable thing, and so you can sell all that you have for that thing. So then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now this is, if you understand what we've been saying, you understand that this is not as controversial as you're making it seem. Jesus was saying something that is very clear. It's very clear. There's no This is not the eye of the needle. Jesus said it is hard. And the reason why it is hard is that men put faith in riches. That's why it is hard. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Eh? That's why it is hard. The issue is not about the size of the needle. That's not the issue. The issue is that it is hard. And the reason why it is hard is because when the heart is on it, it becomes difficult to let it go. You get? And it's not that it is that it's only poor people that will go to heaven. That is clearly, the issue is not what is being discussed. You get the point, right? So you don't need to buy yourself with all those scriptural, that's just being argumentative. That's what Jesus is saying is clear. He's talking about wealth and the kind of wealth that one has. And that's why he then says that in verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Because people assume that God is blessed. Is it where I was looking at him and said that God has blessed this guy now? That means that God likes him more than he likes us. So if he cannot be saved, we cannot be saved. You get my point? Uh-huh. So if this one that has all the money, the fame, is struggling to work with Jesus, hey, is there hope for us? You get my point? Then in 26, he now says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You see, this is the scripture that they used to say this, because this matter is a deep, what Jesus is saying, let's see. I know this thing is tough to hear, but we go. We can get there. Hallelujah. So have faith in God. Again, don't have faith in what you are seeing. Have faith in God. Yes. With men, this is a tough matter. But with God, it is possible. Not that it is hard, it is possible. So with God, it can even be easy. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Hallelujah. So you see, that when one wants to get wealth with God, are we together? Is it why God doesn't really, and that's why I didn't really start this world series based on teaching about, you need to study. I'll get on all those ones, you need to work hard, you need to do all those things. I'll get to all those ones, but this one is the, you teach the spiritual first before you enter the other ones, but this is the foundation of everything. Okay? And, it is not so hard, you know. And this is what I was saying when I was saying that there are some of you that think that you are poor, but you are actually not poor. You know, your prayer point, you're actually praying the wrong prayer point because you are not poor. Because you have advanced with God far more than people that say that they are rich. Are we together? At this point in time, Paul them had forsaken all. But they thought that rich young ruler was better than them when they were better than the guy. Do you understand? So, the rich young ruler could not follow Jesus. Eh? They could follow Jesus. But when they saw the rich young ruler, they saw the rich young ruler as better than them. Why? Because he had wealth. He had fame. Are we together? So that's what I mean when I say that there are many of you here, what you do here, that are not poor. You don't have a right to call yourself poor. Meaning, it's not even a prayer point. Oh Lord, make me rich in life. You are not poor again. You have stopped being poor since last 2 years. Are we together? Why? Because you are following God and you are acquiring godliness. You have already started acquiring godliness. So actually, you are not poor. You have stopped being poor since. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your poverty, your story of poverty has ended since, but you don't know. You are still praying. I still praying, oh Lord. What will you call the breakthrough? Everything that wanted to have happened has happened since. You get? You're already walking in victory. You just don't know it. Why don't you know it? Because you are judging based on the external things that you don't have. Imagine me now judging myself based on the fact I don't have a car. Do you know how anointed I am? Do you know how anointed I am? And imagine me now judging myself based on the fact that I don't have a car. I'll not be comparing myself to goats that have car. That don't have anointing. Do you understand? You understand this thing, Abby? So, then Peter answered and said to him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone that have forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." Hallelujah. "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Amen. So Jesus says that those who are forsaken houses, everything, will receive a hundredfold. And then they will inherit eternal life. So what that means is that that's what he was just talking about. All these things shall be added unto you. Right? So you will still receive it. And then not only will you not receive it, you will not be guaranteed, because you receive one day for eternal life, meaning you will have the things that men are chasing. So you will have it. And then you will still have the what we got. In fact, a lot of times, God gives you things that you don't even want again. You see, I will say it now, but it's not for now, but it's just for later on. Eventually, as you work with God, one of the things where you get to eventually is that you will not really want too many things again. Okay? Wanting too many things is materialism. Or putting value on many things is materialism, is weakness in the soul. I mean, the desire to want many things is materialism. Are we together? And it's a weakness in the soul. Yes. Now, as you walk with God, even that desire to want many things, I mean practical, even many shoes, you will not want too many shoes again. You will just want the one that is okay for you to do what you need to do to achieve your destiny. That's personally, you get. Because you won't really see much value in yourself. I mean, your physical, the thing will be going small, small. It will be going small, small. It will be going small, small. Then what you will now see as value would then be things that are external to you or things that are outside of you. So what I'm just saying is that you will stop spending so much on yourself, and then you will start A lot of your time, effort, and money will go to other things outside you. Are we together? That's what eventually happens. Yes. So that's why I even said that even the desire for money would be dropping because you won't really, you don't really need money again. You see, most of us, we don't, is it, you will live on, how like, you will be living, but you will be living on the barest minimum. Purposely. It's not like you don't have money, but you will just be like, I think I don't have time. It's too much stress. You will just be letting things go. Because actually, to take care of you is not that much. Yet, it's really not that much. It's your mental imbalance that is making you think it's a lot. And then it will just be outward things. Outward things. Yeah, so that's the beautiful life that God has had for us, that God has placed for us. And we'll get there. Everybody will get there. But it first starts with seeing and understanding what godliness is. And then placing value on that thing. You know, ultimately it's about God using you. You get God using your life, God wanting to manifest through your life. And then the world is a portion of that. So it's not about you. You get it's not about you looking good. It's not about you acquiring. It's not about you getting fame. It's not about you getting those things. But it's about the purposes of God being actualized in your life. That's now your focus. You get that's when you can now start discussing wealth. You get that's when you can start discussing it. Why am I a valuable person? I'm a valuable person. Not because of the money I can give people. I can't give everybody money. Yes. But I'm a valuable person because if you listen to me, you will find God. If you are around me, you will find God. In fact, if you just live in my house, you will find God. Are we together? Not that I will not be teaching you Bible study. If you just sleep in my house, wake up, sleep in my house, wake up, we will not be teaching you Bible study. I will call you and say, yeah, do this thing. But you will just notice that after like 6 months, your brain will be shifting. Your brain will be shifting. And it's because where I am, the presence of God is there. You understand my point, right? So those are the things that make me wealthy. Yes. Not the fact that the TV is 55 inches. Are we together? What makes me wealthy is that in my house there are angels. Yes. Not that. Even the TV said, this week I was so frustrated. As I wanted to do the wire at the back. We're now doing the TV. The thing now busts. The TV right now is now is now the rainbow on one side, you know, and we are good, we're happy. The TV will be like that because that's the last thing I'm going to spend money on right now, maybe till next year. So all of us, so tomorrow now we'll watch that TV, we'll have rainbow, we'll watch Papi, and everybody has to be happy. Everybody will watch that TV rainbow on the side. You know what I mean by rainbow now? You know this flat screen TV, right? One side has cracks, you know? And we'll watch it, we'll be happy. Yeah, because that's the last thing I'm spending money on. I'll spend money on school fees first before I spend money on that one. Yeah. And we'll watch it, we'll be blessed. There is no feeling of, you need to... Why? We are wealthy inside. Yeah, this is not TV that makes us wealthy. You understand? Praise God. Can we rise up? Let's say one prayer. Wow, time has gone. Can we just pray a very simple prayer and let's just say, God, use me? It's very simple. It's tied to what we're talking about. You see, when you enter into a state where God uses you, or what I'm just saying is that you're just asking God to use every portion of you so that even wealth is going for his purpose. Are we together? All right. So with these spirits, let's just say, God, use me. I release my life to you. You know, my life is not about flying in first class. It's about being used by you. And therefore, every wealth in me is going to be used for your purposes. Can we begin to pray? Ibroko shikite kabraka balakushka, mi brakati kalaka brike balakushka, arakati broko siki brakati bulukushka, mi braka buluku bakashti, brakata bulukushka sika brukushka, ibrokoske braka suki leke braka balakushke, arakati broko sika balaka bukushke, umbrika siki leke broko barakati brokosa, mashata leko brokosa kabraka buluku bukushka, Se boroko se kaboloko shaka tabroko sha bore kabala kaboko shiki rakaboloko ska se kabroko suka te boko ska maraka tsokoroko boroko ske ebreke sko se ke braka breka boroko se ibroko se ke broko bakar ko topo breke se ke broko baraka se kaboloko boko sha maraka boska subaraka suska sabreke boloko boska E brokoska breka bolokoska breka balaka sepa lakia brokoska machata le brokoska breka boloko shabra sete le ke broko baraka balaka baka shike le ke brokosa breka balaka breka suta ambreka suta le broka sata le brokosha marata le brokosa ke broko baraka sika bolokosha sata bolokosha tale brokosi ka baraka balaka brokosha breka baraka balaka shike le ke brokosa
Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. We bless God. We thank God for helping us. Lord, I just want you to keep on, you know, seeking God's face. You know, I just want to keep on seeking God's face. You're fine. You know, I just want to keep on seeking God's face. You know, with this word, just keep at it. God will always reward our pursuits. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know. And I perceive that the Lord is saying that he's happy with you. Or that he finds it very valuable. You know. So see yourself as a very valuable person. I tell you the truth, what is in you is more than what is in the world, you know. What is in you, small, and you know, I don't know if you judge yourself based on the thinness of your voice, but it's not about the thinness of your voice, it's about what is in you. And what is in you is great and is powerful. You know, and God will unveil it. But he doesn't even need to unveil it. That's the beauty of the thing. He's perfectly fine with us enjoying you. You know, the way you are. Yes, right. So I tell you for a fact, please listen to what I'm saying. I tell you for a fact that you are a very beautiful person. I tell you for a fact. God finds you very valuable and very beautiful. And you are, you know, I pity your husband, I'm jealous of your husband, you know. Wherever he might be, he doesn't know what he's about to, the market is about to collect, you know, the man will find out that the man has collected correct markets, you know, and it's because you're God's treasure, you know. So you're a blessed person, you know. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's have our seats. Let's have our seats. Let me just quickly give the announcement. Are there announcements? So I was saying that So, are the people in Ojodo, are they online? People that are not in the Chisholm is not in Wally's house. Where is she? Where is she? Let her type where she is. Okay. I'm not happy that some workers are not coming for service. So I would deal with some of us. But let me just say it in general that I'm not happy that if you're a worker in this church, you must come for service. So, okay, I don't think I have any first time. Cell meeting continues. So we're having a combined service on the 21st of September. Put on my Instagram page for updates. I need chairs after the service. If you have an offering, you can drop the offering. Has she responded? People are trying me on. There's a face that if I have to show people, it will be like I'm too wicked. So let's also do Glory Home by 5 p.m. And then day one, so our weekly Bible reading. Day one, Numbers 30. Day two, Numbers 31. Day three, Numbers 32. Day 4, Numbers 33. Day 5, Numbers 34. Day 6, Numbers 35. Day 7, Numbers 36. Day 1, Numbers 30. Day 2, Numbers 31. Okay. sorry, let me read this thing. Day 1, Numbers 30. Day 2, Numbers 31. Day 3, Numbers 32. Day 4, Numbers 33. Day 5, Numbers 34. The 6 Numbers 35, the 7 Numbers 36. So Chisholm is she's helping her parents move. I remember. But I'm still going to publicly deal with some of us that have been displaying some kind of funny behavior. So when I start my own, because people have been showing down, I've been patiently observing some people. So when I start now, nobody should say I was wicked. I'm not wicked. Huh? Am I wicked? No, I'm not wicked. All right. Are we good? Yeah. All right, let's rise up. Let's share the grace. Want to go? All right, goodbye, everyone. God bless you.